A series on spiritual warfare for the past couple months called Dress to Kill. Thank you, sir. And today we are coming to a conclusion. I was talking with a friend the other day. He said, "Hey, what are you speaking on Sunday?" I said, it's the conclusion of spiritual warfare. And then he texted me back and he said, "Wouldn't that be nice if it really was?" And I thought, yeah, that'd be kind of nice. That means that Jesus would have come and we're in heaven with him, but we're not quite there yet. So turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be looking this morning. We'll be turning with the word to several different passages today, but we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. Has been our primary text as we've been in this series, Dress to Kill, and learning that God has made us victorious. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 begins reading by saying, "Finally," everybody say finally. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances," somebody say, "in all circumstances." "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, as we get into this passage, as we get into this topic, Lord, as we're concluding this series on spiritual warfare today, we know that the battle doesn't stop today. But Lord, I thank you that you have given us tools to continue in the battle and to continue to stand and to continue to be victorious, like the people that you made us to be. So Lord, here we are. Speak to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. So we've looked at, during the course of these past several weeks in spiritual warfare, we've looked at the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth, we know it's not just a belt like I'm wearing right now that holds my pants up, but it's more of a belt or a girdle that protects. When Pastor Greg was speaking and showed us on the screen, it protects that ability to spiritually reproduce. What does that mean? It is our identity. God has made us to reproduce the image of Christ in the world. When we're walking around, it's not just that people see Tim. I want people to see Jesus. And if I'm not clothed with the belt of truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then I'm going to have a really hard time because I don't know my identity. I don't know who I am, but the Bible says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So we talked about the belt of truth. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness. We looked at Proverbs 4:23 that says, "Above everything else, above all, guard your heart because it affects everything you do." Everything that happens comes out of our heart. And so we wear the breastplate of righteousness to help guard our heart. We looked at the shoes of peace. And remember, the shoes of peace, peace has a sound. Remember when the Romans would come, they were wearing their caliga, their cleated shoes, which would help them to have that firm foundation and that footing. And the Bible says it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is good news. Tell somebody next to you, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news, and that is what the Bible says that we bring to the world. We talked about the shoes of peace. Jason brought a message as we looked at the helmet of salvation, and God wants to renew our minds because there is a battle that rages in our mind, isn't there? Should I? Shouldn't I? Do I? Don't I? What about this? What about that? And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, let our minds be transformed by the word of God. And we looked at the shield of faith. We just read a few moments ago. That doesn't just help defend us from the fiery darts of the enemy, but the word says it quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. That's what faith does, that shield of faith. Last week, Pastor JJ brought a message on the sword of the Spirit. If you missed last Sunday, you can go online and listen to it at our website, or you can check it out on our Facebook page. If if you missed it, it was a really good word. I went back and listened to it again this week, and I thought, man, that was a good word. And then a couple of people after church last Sunday came up and said, you know, Pastor, you've got some competition. And I said, well, I've never really thought of it that way. It's kind of more like, you know, it's kind of like a 1-2 kind of knockout punch is kind of how I look at it. I'm glad I got a wife who can preach the word of God. So it was a good word last Sunday. So if you missed it, you can check it out online. So, okay, so that's just a quick recap. Now, what I want to do is today we're going to talk about some garments that aren't necessarily listed here in Ephesians chapter 6 as pieces of the armor, but it's part, they're tools that God has given us to help us stand victorious and advance the kingdom of God. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament for this one. Isaiah chapter 58. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. I remember when I was a teenager growing up in Chicago, I was sitting on my bed and I was talking to somebody just in between services today. And I said, man, my memory of this is so vivid. You know, some memories, you have some memories that are just kind of like you vaguely remember. Other things you remember well. This one is like so vivid, I felt like it happened yesterday still. It was one of those memories. And I was sitting on my bed and I was in this, I don't remember how long it was, but I remember I thought, Lord, I want to do some fasting and praying because our pastor had just spoken about fasting and prayer. And when you want to hear the Lord, oftentimes you fast and pray and you cut things out of your life to really, you know, dial in and hear the Lord's voice more clearly. And so I thought, okay. And so I ran across this passage in Isaiah chapter 58, and I was sitting on my bed in my house, where I grew up in Chicago, and I'm going to start reading with verse 1, and I'll read a couple verses, but then I'm going to jump down to verse 8, which would be the main verse that we're going to look at. So verse 1 of Isaiah 58 says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Sounds really encouraging so far, doesn't it? Hang on, it gets better. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Now stop there for just a second. Have you ever prayed and thought, okay, God, I'm doing what you've asked me to do. Why aren't you responding? I know I have. How many times have I said, okay, God, I'm saying all the right things. I'm doing all the right things. I'm in the Word. I'm listening to worship music. I'm fasting. I'm doing all this stuff. And why? You get the point. This is what Isaiah is saying right here. He's saying, why have we fasted? And they say, you haven't seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you haven't taken notice? Now, jump down to verse 5 with me. Is it a fast I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to speak out to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. Now it's starting to sound good, isn't it? Now it's starting to sound encouraging. Now, verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring your house to the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and hide not yourself from your own flesh. Verse 8, here we go. This is the passage I'd like to look at today. Then, everybody say then. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. That's about as far as I got. And then I thought, wait a minute. Verse 8 caught my eye. Here's what caught my eye. Look at this again. It says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Good. And your healing shall spring forth speedily. Okay. So now I'm a teenager sitting on my bed, and I read this passage, and it says, and your righteousness shall go before you, and I stopped. And I thought, wait a minute. I've heard it preached that the Bible says that my righteousness is like filthy rags. I've read in the Bible that it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. So God, why are you saying that my I don't think I want my righteousness to go before me. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. And this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. He said, Tim, who is your righteousness? And I stopped and I thought, wait a minute. The Bible says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then it's like I went, wait a minute. My righteousness doesn't go before me. Jesus goes before me. And then it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And I saw that and I thought, it was one of these moments. I'm sitting on my bed as a kid and it was like, and never before had I ever seen the word with such clarity. And I stopped. I grabbed my Bible. I do this. I closed it on my finger. I ran upstairs. My dad was at work and my mom was the first person that I saw. I said, Mom, have you ever seen this? Look at this. And I read this passage to her and I go, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, because she knew I was fasting, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. That Bible says Jesus goes before me. And she goes, what's the next part say? And I read the next part, and I said, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And I said, Jesus goes before me, and God's glory is my rear guard. And my mom said, exactly. Because I had heard preaching, and maybe if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard somebody say that there's no armor that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and that there's no protection for your backside, which I get. We're always to be moving forward. I understand that. But the Bible says that Jesus goes before me and God's glory is my rear guard. Now, I want you to get this because this blew my mind. This just completely revolutionized how I saw the armor of God. Okay, so the first part, let's take a minute and look at this. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. How many have ever seen a sunrise? You know, when the sun starts to come up over the horizon, it's that, and the darkness just begins to dissipate, doesn't it? I'll tell you this, there have been some beautiful sunrises here in New Hampshire. Man, I'll tell you what, we live in a beautiful, beautiful state. And there's nothing like seeing that sunrise. But the Bible says when you're fasting and praying and calling to hear God's voice, God says it's just like that. Then your light shall break forth. When that sun comes over the horizon, there is a breaking forth and you can feel it, can't you? It's like, oh, there's the sun. It's going to be a beautiful day today. When it rises over the lake or over the mountains or wherever it happened to be, it's a beautiful sight. And that's what this says. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. And then it says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. Now, like we heard a few minutes ago when Pastor JJ was up sharing about communion, there is a breaking forth when we receive. God wants to heal us. Now, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard me share. I've worn glasses since fourth grade. And I've been praying since fourth grade and thanking the Lord that my eyes are healed. I don't know why my healing hasn't sprung forth yet more speedily than it has. But God apparently has a different timetable than Tim Versalono. God time is a little bit different than Tim time. When I read this passage, when it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning and your healing shall bring forth speedily, I think speedily is like, you know, chop, chop, done, boom, next. I think speedily is kind of like this. Speedily. Speedily. I think that's speedily. When I read speedily, I think that's Tim Versalono time right there. But God says, my time is not like your time. I need to drink a water.
49 ain't got nothing on you.
That's right. 49, whatever. And see, the Word of God says that. Says that Tim needs to slow down a little bit, maybe. I know, but you're pregnant, though. Your righteousness shall go before you. Jesus goes before us. And God's glory is our rear guard. Now, I'm still catching my breath. Yeah, I do, huh? See, when I read this passage and it blew my mind, When it says my righteousness, Jesus is my righteousness. See, we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah 58 says that your righteousness, Jesus, goes before us. See, it's one thing when we march into battle. We've been looking at this the past several weeks, right, about marching into battle. And Jesus says, before you even march into battle, I am going out front ahead of you. You see that? Picture that. You are when you're out driving on the road, Jesus is out driving in front of you to keep you safe from whatever might be coming your way. That's what this passage is talking about. Your righteousness, Jesus goes before you. And not only does Jesus go before you, it says God's glory is our rear guard. Here's what that means. We can keep moving forward and we don't have to be like this. What's happening on back? What's going on back? When I'm swinging the sword of the Spirit, when I'm raising the shield of faith, I don't have to go, what's happening back here? What's happening back here? What's going on back here? What's happening over my shoulder? What's happening back here? God's glory is my rear guard. God is saying, I've got your back. You just keep going forward and being the man or the woman that I've made you to be, and I'll take care of all this stuff that's happened back here in your past. I will take care of this. You just move forward knowing that Jesus is going before you. I've got your back. Who better to hear say I've got your back than the creator of the universe? I mean, it's always wonderful when people say, Pastor, I got your back. I'm praying for you. That is always encouraging and great to hear. Don't stop saying it, because I won't stop loving hearing it, because I know that you're praying for me and I'm praying for you. But who better than God saying, I've got your back. Let me take care of the past. Let me take care of what's back here. You just keep moving forward. Keep pressing forward. Jesus goes before me. God's glory is my rear guard. And watch this. Psalm chapter 91, verse 11. Turn there with me if you would. Whew, I've almost caught my breath. Psalm chapter 91. I got the reference wrong on the slide. It says Isaiah 58, but it's actually Psalm 91. Did you guys fix it? Oh, look at you guys. You're awesome. James, you the man. Psalm chapter 91, 11. It says this. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. God gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Now, how many have ever said the phrase, or you've heard the phrase, or you've prayed for someone and you've prayed for traveling mercies? You've heard this phrase before. Now, it's not bad. This is not, hand slap from Tim time. This is okay. Let's look at the word. I've prayed for traveling mercies for people, but I would much rather pray that his angels are charge over me, because that's what the word says, right? It doesn't say he might give his angels charge over me, does it? It says he will. God shall give his angels charge over you. There are angels that are assigned to you right now to keep me what? Keep me safe in all of my ways. And we go a lot of different ways in our world, don't we? We drive places, we fly places, we hike places, we bike places, we climb mountains, we go swimming. We go in a lot of places, don't we? And the Word of God says, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you safe in all of your ways. Now, I would rather have his angels charge over me than I'll take traveling mercies, but knowing that his angels are traveling with me, wow, I can find that in the Word. Now, as I was reading about this, I thought, okay, where'd this phrase come from? Do you ever think, where did the phrase come from? Kind of like, that'll do in a pinch. That's a cool phrase I'm not going to go into. It's kind of a cool story, but we're not going to talk about that today. The phrase traveling mercies began to gain popularity in the late 1800s when missionaries would travel long distances. That's a good thing to pray. But the word says he gives his angels charge over us. So not only does Jesus go before me, not only is God's glory my rear guard, not only am I dressed in the armor of God, but the Bible says his angels are charge over me. Now, as I continue to study and research this and look at this, I've spoken on this and I've quoted this verse for years. I thought, I'm going to look and see a little bit more closely what this is talking about here. When the Bible says that his angels are charged over us, it literally means that his angels serve as watchmen over our lives. Then I found myself thinking, like a watchman on the wall. Who's a watchman on the wall? Then I began to think about American Sniper. And then I began to think about like movies where you see like snipers in the movies. How many know what I'm talking about? You know kind of what I'm talking about, right? And so this is talking about literally think of a sniper who provides cover fire, because we're talking about a spiritual battle that we are in every day. Amen. We are in a battle fighting the enemy. Could you imagine? Just picture with me for just a minute. The angel that God has got assigned to your life. I'm going to pick on Martha for a minute. So Martha is going out here and she's ministering to these people over here. And the Lord says, okay, here goes Martha. She's following my direction. She's going where I told her to go. I've set some angels charge over her life. So angels, you go. And they are perched above where God is directing her to go. And the enemy is always strategizing against us, right? But remember, today we're strategizing against the enemy's plans, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So Martha's out in the world doing what God's called her to do, and the angel of the Lord is keeping watch over us, because he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways, right? So she goes and she's ministering, and the angel goes, oh, look at that. Look at those forces of hell trying to take out Martha. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this, angels. Another one bites the dust. Doo-doo-doo. Doom, doom. Another one. You get the picture, right? Because he gives his angels charge over us, and God says, okay, no, you're done over here. I want you to go over here. And the angel is watching. Oh, look at that. Look at those dumb devils trying again. Look at what? You get the picture. He gives his angels charge over us to keep us safe in every place we go, in all of our ways. He gives his angels charge over us. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good. Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5. Turn there with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5. 1 Peter, way in the back. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5. After Hebrews, after James. 1 Peter 5, 5, we'll have it up on the screen as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 says this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself. I'm feeling less younger after taking that lap around the sanctuary. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, there is an amazing beauty to the completeness of the armor of God. It's tools that God has given us to be victorious against the plans of the enemy. Amen? But there is something that God wants us to make sure that we don't have in our lives, and it's pride. He says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Then he says, clothe yourself. He doesn't say, I'm going to clothe you with humility, because when God humbles us, you know when God humbles you, don't you? I've been there before, and it doesn't feel very good. I would rather do what the word says. I would rather clothe myself with humility. I'd rather go to the closet and say, humility, get on me, and I'm never taking you off. Why? Because God opposes the proud. God puts himself in opposition against us when our lives are filled with pride. That's one of those oh me moments. Lord, help me not be pride. But he gives grace to the humble. See, there is a humility that God wants to bring to our life that puts pride out of our life. There's a book I read a number of years back in the 90s, and it's a book by Rick Joyner called The Final Quest. And as I was reading this book, what it is, it's a prophetic vision. It's a prophetic dream that God gave this pastor. His name is Rick Joyner. And he chronicled this in this book that he wrote, The Final Quest. And I'd like to take a minute and read what he writes about the armor of God and humility. So here's what he says. The brightness of God's glory coming from the armor that God has given us, made it difficult to see into the darkness. He writes, behind me, more of the glorious warriors were constantly taking their places on the mountain. I knew there was now enough to attack and destroy what was left of this enemy horde. Not yet, said wisdom. This is speaking of Jesus. Look over there. I looked in the direction in which he was pointing, but had to shield my eyes from the glory emanating from my own armor to see anything. Then I caught a glimpse of the movement in a valley. I could not make out what I was seeing because the glory being emitted from my armor made it difficult to see into the darkness. I asked wisdom, or Jesus, to give me something to cover my armor with so I could see it. He then gave me a very plain mantle to put on. What is this? I inquired, a little insulted by its drabness. Humility, said wisdom. You will not be able to see very well without it. Reluctantly, I put it on, and immediately I saw many things that I could not see before. I read that for the very first time, and I thought, I need to remember this. And this is something that has stuck with me years later. Because God's glory is a wonderful thing. His armor are wonderful tools to combat the enemy and be victorious. But God says, we've got to remember, it is not Tim's armor. It is not my helmet of salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. I can't save myself. It's not Tim's sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You get it, right? We've been talking about this for the past several weeks. So here is the lesson to be learned. We as humans are all too quick to become prideful. Let me stop here for just a second. Remember when the 70 went out and ministered? Jesus sent them out and he said, okay, go do some stuff. And they went and did some really cool stuff, didn't they? They cast out demons, they healed people, and they were all excited when they came back and they said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! We prayed for people and they got healed and they got set free and demons were flying this way and everything. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went, good job! I told you could do it! Go do it again! No, he didn't do that, did he? Jesus turns the table and he goes, I saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. And the disciples were probably going, what? Wait, we just told you all this great stuff we did in your name. We did it all in your name like you told us to do. See, it's one thing to be proud of what we have going on and proud of our lives. That's great. I'm proud of my kids and their accomplishments, and I'm proud of how much they love Jesus, but I don't let that be something that I worship. Right? Because pride will prevent me from seeing things the way things should be seen. Humility is what enables me to do that. Jesus said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven. He said, because remember, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The only reason we are able to be the people that God has made us to be is because the grace of God in our lives. So here's the lesson. God knows that pride is easy to come by as a human being. And that's why it is spoken against so strongly in God's word. It's what filled Satan's heart before he was expelled from heaven. Pride keeps us from seeing things clearly. Pride will keep us from seeing things clearly. I don't care how well you know the word of God. I don't care how much I know the word of God. If I'm not clothed in humility, you run the risk of allowing pride in. I know a lot of people who know the Bible way better than I do. I want to know the Bible, so I've got some friends, man. I can say, what does Exodus chapter 2, verse 6 say? And they could probably quote it. But if there's that, I can quote 50,000 passages of the Bible. Well, great, but what about the pride you're allowing in your life that you can quote that many passages? What are you applying? Make sense?
Yes.
See, humility helps God hear us, and it helps us hear God. Let me say that again. Humility helps God hear us, and it helps us hear God. It provides the means by which even God can promote us, because the Bible says that he is the one who exalts. He says, humble yourselves. There it is again. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Remember, God's time is not Tim time. I could run around this place until I drop over dead. Well, maybe I'd pass out, hopefully, before I dropped over dead. I might feel like it. But God says, no, 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 no. I've got a timing that's different than your sense of timing, Tim. Be humble. Let me work in your life. As we come to a conclusion, there's a little card. Ushers, if you could help me out here. Some cards that we got printed up this week. And when I got into this series, I wanted to make sure that I gave something to us that we could take with us. I've heard a number of people over the past several weeks say, "Hey, is this going to be written down somewhere? Because I'm like, I remember some of it, but I don't remember all of it, and I want to remember all of it." And so what we've done is we've put together a card that we have up on the screen here, and we're going to have in your hand. I want to make sure all of you guys take one home with you. We'll have some extras at the back table. I know there's some people not here because it's Labor Day weekend, and some people are away for the weekend with the last hurrah of summer. But I know that some people will be back. I know that a lot of us will be back next week, and we got a bunch of extra copies made. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute, and we're going to get dressed for our day. We've done this a few times throughout the course of the past several weeks, but we're going to do this again. But before we do, as Scott and Shane, would you mind giving Scott a hand pass and put some of those out? Or you just about got it, brother? You got it? Awesome. Thank you. You're so efficient, man. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment, and we're going to get dressed for our day. But before we do, I'm going to ask, could we just take a moment, could we close our eyes and bow our heads? I want to ask us a simple question. We're doing this a little bit differently today. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that is the place you've got to start to be victorious. I want to ask you, can we all just pray this prayer together? Would you just repeat this simple prayer with me? Say, "Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give you my life. Would you take all my sin as I live for you? I receive your forgiveness now, and I receive you into my life. I thank you that the old is gone, and everything from this point forward, you make new. In Jesus' name, amen." While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time. Maybe you just prayed it, and you feel like something's different now. If you just prayed that prayer and invited Jesus in, would you just raise your hand right now and just say, I just prayed that prayer, Tim. Thank you. Awesome. So somebody else says, I did too. I just invited Jesus to come into my life. Wonderful. Well, the Bible says that you are now part of the family of God. It's the best family to be a part of. I got a pretty awesome family, but being part of the family of God is even better. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, and I'm gonna come on up here next to Jason, so you can see me a little bit better, and so I can see y'all a little bit better as well. So I want to invite you, take this with you, grab a couple. If you need 5 of them, if you need 10 of them, put one in your Bible, put one on the mirror in your bathroom, if you want to put one on your fridge, if you need to put it in your freezer, wherever you need to put it, if you put it in the pantry, someplace that will remind you to get dressed for your day. If you got to put it on the visor in your car, this is a tool, just like God's given us a lot of tools to be victorious. Amen. So here we go. We've got it on the screen. We've got it here as well. Let's go and get dressed for our day. Ready? I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. I take up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus goes before me. God's glory is my rear guard. His angels are charged over me, and I'm clothed in humility. Now I am dressed for my day. Friends, now you're dressed for your day. This has been I've loved going through this series with you guys. You guys just make this so much fun. This is going to be a great week. I know I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. Well, no, I didn't say it last week. The week before I said it. It's going to be a great week. I'm believing it's going to be the best week that you've ever had. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord. We're dressed for our day, and we're ready to face the world. Because Jesus goes before us. God's glory is our rear guard. He's given us the tools to be victorious in this world. Well, I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. We're about to do the benediction in just a few minutes. Next Sunday at what time?
9:30.
Excellent. Would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing today? Now, Lord, I just want to say thank you for my friends. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I'm so thankful that we get to live life together knowing that you are victorious. Lord, I bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. I thank you, Jesus, that we can stand in your armor and not just stand here, but we can march forward knowing that we're victorious. I declare over my friends today that we are the head and not the tail. I declare that you are above and not beneath. I declare that you are blessed and not cursed. And whatever you set your hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you shout amen today? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, everybody. Have an awesome week. I can't wait to see you next Sunday.